All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to the law firm of Davis and Davis. We're not a real law firm.
Go ahead, grab a beer, a glass of wine, sit back and listen.
Hey, Burke and I are here to welcome you back to part two.
Morris Day in the time.
He apparently had some drug issues whilst filming this particular film. And apparently Prince and him had issues.
That's really kind of funny. Prince having issues with somebody's drug problem.
I mean, well, he only had a drug problem at the very, very end. Still a problem until you die. Oh, sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah, Morris Day apparently had a substance abuse problem. Throughout production and was high during most of the filming. He often had to almost literally be drugged out of his room to the set.
Yes. Yeah, I have that written down also. Walked or dragged from his trailer.
They
had a lot of fights too.
Well, yeah.
And who plays Morris's right-hand man? Who is that?
Jerome.
Okay. Yeah, that was the other thing. Almost everybody in the film, their first name was their first names in the film as well as in real life. Pretty much. Brenda is played by Brenda. Susan is played by Susan. Kim is played by Kim. Jerome's played by Jerome.
Now, I don't know if you knew this, but this script was shopped around to several different companies before Indigo finally picked it up.
There was a darker version of this, if I recall.
Well, the script was shopped around to many different companies. Indigo did not get it, sorry. The script was shopped around to numerous production companies, including Indigo Films, which was owned by Jim Brown and Richard Pryor.
That's right, and they turned it down, didn't they?
They turned it down, and Jim Brown expressed his disappointment.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, Jim Brown in 2002 expressed his disappointment in not acquiring the project.
Yeah.
I think I'd be a little bit upset as well.
Because, hey, there's a lot of films out there that people turn down, like Back to the Future. Can you imagine turning down Back to the Future? Ooh, that's going to hurt. Oh,
that's got to be really, really painful.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was turned down by a lot of people.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I guess I should use that background now. Then.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. Man, my dad had some knobby knees. Look at that shit.
Hey, at least he has some calves. He didn't skip leg day.
No, he looks like freaking Popeye.
Well, no, his legs look like Popeye. His torso looks like he skipped arm day, but yeah.
There you go.
He looks like a bicyclist, honestly. Did he bicycle? Did he do a lot of bicycling?
No, he roller skated.
That makes total sense.
Roller skate and figure skater.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
And
keep all the weight down low. Yeah.
And the girl in the rear, right there.
Is that the whore of an ex-wife?
No, that's my... she went to boot camp with me. Her name was Kat.
Oh, okay.
That's all I can say about that.
It's not Mount Rushmore. Okay.
No, that is not Mount Rushmore. I could send you a picture of Mount Rushmore.
I think I've seen him.
My name is Sandy Rodriguez Rushmore Rodriguez Gromit Rodriguez Davis Rodriguez Seiger Rodriguez. I don't know what the fuck the next guy's name is. All right, so what else do we have here? The success of this project benefited just about every division of Warner Brothers. The box office grosses helped the film division. The soundtrack sales helped the record division. The home video release helped that division. And the promotional videos aired on MTV constantly helped the music video division. So every bit of Warner Brothers was built up by this movie.
And yet, Warner Brothers originally thought that they had a dud on their hands.
Yes.
The studio execs screened the movie and they thought it was a hot mess and not commercial enough to be shown in more than 200 theaters. A desperate Rob Cavallo, and forgive me, I don't remember what he was to the film or the people, he tipped off three movie critics to the secret San Diego screening. When those critics from the Rolling Stones, the Los Angeles Times, and Newsweek all wrote glowing reviews of Purple Rain, that's when Warner Brothers decided to put it on 900 screens nationwide. And it made, $68.4 million at the box office, $61 million more than its meager $7 million budget. So, yeah, one dude tipped the scales on that one.
Well, and that's why when the big fight between Warner Brothers and Prince happened...
That's for the next episode.
Oh, I am telling you right now, this next episode is going to be intense. The original screenplay, which can be found online.
Oh, wow.
Contains an extremely explicit sex scene between Apollonia and the kid.
Well, there were three.
During the Ride of Rage sequence. It's unknown if the scenes were actually filmed when Apollonia replaced Vanity as the leading lady. This adds to the mystery of a long-rumored early edit of Purple Rain that was given an X rating.
My reading was, they had an X-rated scene, an R-rated scene, and a PG scene, and they ended up going with the R and a little bit of the X, but yeah.
Well, I'm going to expand on that now. According to the director's commentary, three versions of the love scene were filmed, a G-rated, a PG-rated, and R-rated, which was used in the film.
I'm doing that one from memory, so forgive me.
Prince did most of his own bike riding next to a camera truck, except for the one scene which goes through the railroad yard. And hold on. Three different Honda motorcycles portray Prince's motorcycle. He rides a highly stylized 1981 Honda-matic CB400A, which does have an automatic transmission.
I told you.
With spoked wheels and custom fairings. The stunt rider rode a two manual CB400s made to look like Prince's bike.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Let's see here. Aside from Prince and his on-screen parents, almost every character in the movie is named after the actors who played or portrayed them. So that was one of the things that you mentioned earlier.
Yep, yep.
Brown Mark. Do you know who that is?
I did so much looking into this. I've heard the name, but I don't remember.
He is a member of the Revolution.
Okay.
What is he known for in this movie?
Did he head up the secondary band? Because I know there was somebody from the Revolution. Now that was Dez. Shit. I can't remember.
He is the only member of the Revolution who never spoke through the entire movie.
Oh, okay. That the bass player with the really thin... No, he's had a line. Who the hell was he? Keyboard player spoke. He was Doc.
No, this was the drummer, I do believe.
Oh, shit, that's right. Yeah, he doesn't utter a single line, does he?
Yes.
And Dez... No, not Dez. I can't remember. There's another band that played in the movie, and it was headlined by the guy who played guitar for the 1999 album. I can't remember his name, but I just remember watching the movie going, wait a minute, that's the dude from 1999. Everyone in this movie is connected in some way, somehow. They're all interconnected. It's like a big whorehouse. It's kind of scary.
Wow. Mr. Mark Brown... has 2 Grammys and 1 World Soundtrack Award for Purple Rain.
Nice.
Good on him, man.
Well, remember talking about the Academy Awards? This film actually won one for Best Original Song Score.
I believe it. The album won a Grammy.
The album won a Grammy.
Best R&B.
Yep. It won a Grammy for Best Album of Original Score, the Academy Award for Best Original Song Score. Yeah, I mean, you know, I guess we should talk about the album here, baby.
Okay.
My thoughts on this are this. Take out all the popular songs from this album. The three big ones, you know, When Doves Cry, Let's Go Crazy, and Purple Rain. Take those three songs out completely. Listen to the rest of the album.
It's still great.
It's still phenomenal. It is literally his magnum opus when it comes to music. I was listening to an interview with Kevin Smith where he said the same thing, and he was like, when you rate Prince albums, you have to take Purple Rain out of the equation to rate the rest of the albums, because Purple Rain is so far up there that it skews the bell curve completely, you know.
Every song on this album is a hit.
Oh yeah. I think almost every song charted at some point in time. You know what? This song got played to death, and it just annoys the piss out of me. It's a great song. I'm sick of it.
This was probably my favorite song in this whole thing.
I love this song.
Now, I will say, okay, you have to admit that the song placement was great through this whole movie.
Mm-hmm. It furthered the either the story or the tone of the movie.
Yeah. And I loved the fact that they did three songs back to back at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his encore for
the, it was a concert.
His concert. Yeah.
Yeah, this was when Apollonia was sitting with
Morris Day. And the owner of the club, and yeah.
Yeah, should we talk about the album? Should we go into depth in the album?
I don't have a ton about the album, but...
Did you know that the songs like Raspberry Beret were already written when this movie was made? He already had half of the 1999 album done.
Oh, 1999 precluded this album.
Hang on. Let me go into my notes. I hate the fact that I've got...
I was listening to 1999. It was my first CD ever. And it was back in 1982, 83, something like that. 1999 came out before this album did.
October 1982 it came out. So it's the other way around. The songs here were written at the same time that 1999 was released.
I don't doubt that at all. I don't even doubt that the next two albums, half of them were in the bag. And we will get into that little tidbit of info in our next show.
Well, honestly, the guy's incredible. I mean, he had songs written... He has songs that are written still that are in Paisley Park.
Vault.
Yeah. The vault in Paisley Park.
Yeah. You're screwing up the next show.
No.
Shh.
Well, it kind of goes into the movie though. His father had all those songs written.
Stored away.
That is Prince.
Oh yeah.
Anyways. All right. We are at our break time here.
Okay.
We need to take a quick break, people. When we come back, we're going to rate this movie. We're going to place this movie. We're going to figure out where the hell it needs to go.
I got a couple of you've been talking an awful lot. I got a couple more goodies to go over, so I get a little talk time too.
Okay, when we get back, what we'll do is we'll let Burke take over. I didn't mean to.
That's okay. You were on a roll, man. It's like Bluto talking about the Nazis doing Pearl Harbor. He's on a roll. Forget it.
It's very hard when you're passionate about something like this movie. Yeah. I'm passionate about.
Oh yeah.
And I'm big in the entertainment and in the music industry. I love the music industry. This man has been an idol of mine for forever. So
I gained a little even more appreciation going into and doing this research and everything. And I feel like I'm a better person for it. So, yeah.
Well, on that note,
we shall be back in just a moment.
I can see it on your face. You don't know who this is.
Feel like I should know this. No.
Wait till the chorus. We'll be right back. Bert Kasson figured it out. At anyone that's on our Facebook page, when this show comes out, the first person to tell me the name and the band will get a free Davis and Davis Show t-shirt.
Wait, we had t-shirts? Where the fuck did we get t-shirts?
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
So let me ask you a question. You ever gone and ate a couple Tums, cracked open a pop, forgot that you ate a couple Tums, and took a big swig of pop?
Why, yes!
It's like the Mentos and Coke right in your mouth. It's no bueno.
So do you know this song?
No, not a clue. I'm not into that hip indie music like you are.
This isn't... You know this song, don't you?
No, I have no clue. I've never heard it.
It's Concrete Blonde from Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, man, I haven't seen that movie in, what, 28 years? Yeah, by the way, I think I made myself a new drink.
And what's that?
I took a big old slice of cucumber and crushed it up into my vodka. And then I had some fresh basil in the fridge and crushed that up in there too. Oh, it is a bit of all right.
Apparently.
Apparently you're drinking the whole wine bottle. Fits in your mug. Oh, that's a bad sign. You can barely get through. You sure you don't want to shoot down a bottle of pop before you get into the last part of this episode?
Let me see if I can... Oh, here we go. Come on, Scott. there.
That's 750 milliliters. That's a full wine bottle.
Yeah, look at the light and blow.
8.23% alcohol by volume. Oh, dear God. Oh, my God. That is really good. Holy cow.
Everybody knows.
I might have to crush up some cucumbers in vodka and let it sit for a while. That's really good.
All right, this is a Cascade Brewing Company.
Out of
Wisconsin. Portland, Oregon.
Same difference.
And this is their blueberry ale. Northwest style sour ale aged in oak barrels with blueberries.
Ooh. I'll tell you what, Portland has got just a ton of craft breweries out there. That whole British Columbia, Washington area, they love small batch craft beers out there. Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. All right. Let's see. Here goes. $27 a bottle.
I've spent that much on wine, and it's the same amount.
Oh! That is sour.
You poured the whole bottle into your cup.
Mama Jamba. Yeah, it did say that it was sour ale.
You got no one to blame but yourself on that one.
Here I took like a huge swig thinking that it was just going to be blueberries and heavenly effervescent granules in my mouth of love, and ooh. somebody just sent me a, when did you send that?
Oh, that was a while back.
7:44. Wow. Holy cow.
You're like a baby sucking on a lemon for the first time. Oh man.
It's very good. I mean have you ever had those sour gummy bears or
gummy worms or yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, the more sour the better for me. Like atomic sour.
Oh, trust me, you would go through this in yeah.
Yeah, I love sour. Holy cow.
I will have to. Oh, that's right. I'm not gonna come up for the Tears for Fears concert because you didn't get tickets.
I got tickets.
When? You didn't tell me that we got tickets?
Well, I mean, we don't know till the last friggin' second, basically, with these guys, because they're sponsors and whatever, but not like you could get off of work this weekend.
Burk. What the hell? We were supposed to go to Tears for Fears this year.
I know.
Hang on, I'm putting a sour Jolly Rancher in.
That'll help. Yo, dog, I heard you like sour with your sour, so we got some sour for your sour on top of the sour.
Uh. Oh, dude, I look like a Chinese guy.
brown cow on wall talk.
All right.
Got a couple little tidbits here that I have not yet gone over.
All right.
We were talking about Prince's love interest was originally given to Denise Matthews, a.k.a. Vanity. She was a member of Vanity Six. Girl band put together and controlled by Prince. She pulled out of the film at the last minute. Many speculate that she and Prince were dating and had a blowout. Supposedly, the director claims it was because she was offered a role in Martin Scorsese's The Last Temptation of Christ, the role of which in that film ended up on the cutting room floor. So who knows?
I was going to say she wasn't in it.
Nope. Not in the film we saw, no. After Vanity left the project, her role was offered to Jennifer Beals of Flashdance fame. She turned it down because she wanted to go to college. She did end up earning her degree in American Literature from Yale in 1987. So it went to Apollonia Cotero, who was dating David Lee Roth at the time, and apparently was still married to, and I'll get to that here in a little bit, but Prince demanded that they break up so fans could speculate on whether Apollonia and Prince's on-screen relationship was real. And he also demanded she didn't publicly date anyone during the film's promotion. So, and she was married to a guy named Greg Patchell, who's an aspiring actor and martial artist with an awesome mullet. Her second marriage was to actor Kevin Bernhardt from 1987 to 1997. So, let's see other goodies here. Wendy and Lisa actually knew each other from like childhood. Lisa was part of the band like from 1999, the album 1999 on. But Wendy came on for Purple Rain. They were actually a bona fide couple during the show, in reality, it was never publicly confirmed or denied at the time. Rumors have it that there was a scene in which they kiss, but that was cut from the final edit. And they actually stayed together for another 20 years total from the time of that film on. For instance, apparently, you know, Morris Day and Prince, they were friends since high school. But it was getting a little sour at the time they did this film. The time was controlled by Prince. That arrangement frustrated Morris Day, and that resulted in an on-set fight that was actually broken up by the Times drummer Jellybean Johnson. The film's producers had scheduled a 4-week shoot at the First Avenue 7th Street entry. And they paid him $100,000 to stay closed for 4 weeks. However, because Prince is Prince and Prince and the Revolution were such a tight band, they nailed it in 1 week.
1 week.
1 week. All of those bits that you see where they're playing in front of an audience, 1 week. That was it. Game over. Have a nice day. All right. So do you remember the parental advisory stickers that used to come on CDs and albums?
Yes.
Okay. That all began because of Purple Rain. Tipper Gore, then wife of Al Gore, had founded the Parents Music Resource Center after hearing Darling Nikki with its references to masturbation. She heard this on her 11-year-old daughter's stereo and got pissed. So this song became one of the Filthy 15 that the PMRC committee objected to, along with Cyndi Lauper's She Bop, Madonna's Dress You Up, and a couple others. After a Senate hearing, the record industry agreed to use their own discretion to label potentially offensive music. So yet another way that Prince has changed music forever.
It was probably good that Tipper Gore took that up. I mean, since Al Gore founded the World Wide Web.
Yeah.
It was probably important that she force this legislation through.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Prince was actually worried that the song Purple Rain sounded too similar to Journey's Faithfully.
Mm-hmm.
He actually called up Jonathan Cain, who was the keyboardist at that time and had also worked with John Waite and the Babies. But he had written Faithfully, and he asked him what he thought. And Cain said, it's okay. It's a power ballad. It only shares a few chords. You have my blessing.
Four chords.
Yeah, there's have you ever seen the four chord song by the Axis of Awesome?
No.
Oh God, you have to, that is a YouTube video you must look up. It is one of the greatest videos of all time. Prince made sure that the entire cast was enrolled in dance and acting classes. The Minnesota Dance Theater welcomed the cast, made up mostly of the band members of Revolution, Morris Day and the Time. Prince wanted them to get into shape, you know. Some people complained about the exercising to the Jane Fonda videos and making jazz hands. And Prince eventually stopped making attendance mandatory. That was one of the big things that Morris had against Prince at that time. With the movie, the album, and his single, Prince simultaneously topped the box office, the album chart, and the singles chart all together. That accolade is only shared by two other artists in history. Can you guess the other two artists that have had both a album, single, and movie chop the charts? Top the charts.
Hang on. Neil Diamond.
No, think big.
You don't think Neil Diamond's big?
Think bigger.
Come on, Scott. You know who he is. Frank Sinatra.
What movie was he in that his album
that's true.
One's a single and one is a group.
As a single and a group. I do not know.
Elvis Presley.
Because okay.
He did so many films, and obviously he had so many albums and singles. And then also The Beatles. Hard Day's Night, the album, the single, the movie. This film was also nominated for Worst Original Song at the Razzies. Golden Raspberry Awards have been held as a periodic counterpart to the Oscars since 1981.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Ms. Cotero was the lucky winner of the third inaugural Razzie for the worst original song for Sex Shooter.
It was bad.
It was bad.
It was bad.
I think it was meant to be bad, though. It was the sexploitation woman thing. It was an 80s sexploitation thing. It was meant to be bad, but yeah, it was a bad song. And then going back to the whole Purple Rain, in a rare late night jam session, Prince allowed his band members to help him collaborate on a song for the very first time. The end result would become the song we know as Purple Rain. And according to bandmate Lisa Coleman, the song symbolizes a new beginning, purple, the sky at dawn, rain, the cleansing factor of life. Wendy was only 19 when she filmed, when she was in Purple Rain. Brown Mark, the bassist, there he is. I knew I had him in here. He was only 20. And just as a personal side note, and I went through a whole bunch of, there's no way to go through all the Prince's songs. This may be his finest guitar playing ever. He lit it all. He was channel. Well, he could do Hendrix. He could do Clapton. He just let it all hang out. This is some of his absolute best guitar playing ever in any of his albums. Although I did I watched the video of when a bunch of people got together and did While My Guitar Gently Weeps. I think it was a guy from ELO and Tom Petty and a bunch of other artists. And like, they're all singing While My Guitar Gently Weeps. And then at the halfway point where the guitar solo comes in, Prince just waltzes out on the stage and just starts wailing on this guitar. And it is truly phenomenal playing on his part. But for albums,
Hello? Well, yeah, you just went bye-bye.
What do you mean? I can hear you.
You went bye-bye. You froze.
I still see and hear you.
Yeah, you froze. It was kind of cool.
Oh, I'm back now?
You're back now.
Oh, okay. That might be on your end, because everything's been fine on my end, so.
Well, I'm checking right now. 11 millisecond ping. 233 down. And a whopping 11 up. Around the half hour mark into the film, Prince pops in a cassette tape labeled what?
Oh man, I should know this one. By the way, I've got 220 download and 10 megaseconds up, so it's not on my end. Does it say something as random as mixtape, or does it say? I cannot remember.
The cassette tape is labeled Gemini. Gemini is Prince's astrological sign.
Astronomical sign.
Yeah, that thing too.
I don't think I have any other goodies or tidbits.
Holy shit, there's the Karina Gore story. At age 11, playing Darling Nikki.
Yeah.
See, I don't see anything wrong with this.
It's a great song. It's a family song.
I knew a girl named Nikki. I guess you could say she was a sex fiend.
Oh, there you go.
I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine.
Oh, I can see why Tipper was upset. I have never seen a gentleman hump a speaker in that way ever before.
And it didn't disgust you?
No. Nikki started to cry.
Guitar playing is just his incidental guitar playing is phenomenal in this film.
Oh yeah. Oh my god, yes.
Kristen.
Sorry.
That was jamming, man.
I know. I was trying to mute myself.
Oh, sorry.
Which I had hit a button to play a Prince song, and of course, I
restarted.
I give up.
It's all right.
Yes. Do I have anything else here? I don't have anything else.
Do I don't have anything else either. So
I guess
we have to put this on a shelf.
Well, we have to rate it and then put it onto a shelf. And last time I started, so you can have the glory of rating this and then placing it onto a shelf.
It's been so long. What does rating entail? I mean, I know what shelf I'm going to put this on.
Well, you do a brief synopsis of how you felt about the movie.
Okay. So, I love this film. I've always loved this film. I think I will continue to love this film. Does it have flaws? Absolutely. But then again, so does each and every person out there have a little flaw somewhere. It's what makes you an individual. It what makes this movie special in a lot of ways. It's like watching that B movie that you love. It's like my wife loves watching Sharknado movies, every single Sharknado movie. She loves them to death because they're so flawed. And that there's a lot of that charm in this movie. You cringe a little bit and you're like, it's Prince. It was the 80s, whatever. You go on with your life. But as a whole, I absolutely love this movie to death. And like I said, it doesn't matter if I could watch this at any point. I could pick it up halfway through. I'll sit down and watch the whole damn movie. It's like, oh God, what other movie is like that? What is the Adam Sandler golfing movie? Happy Gilmore. It doesn't matter where that movie is on TV. I will stop, sit down, watch it to the end. It doesn't matter. I don't care. I will watch it. I love that movie. This is my Happy Gilmore of music movies. It is definitely a top shelf movie for me. It's not a box movie, but it's definitely a top shelf movie. There's so much good in this. I mean, it just the music alone takes it to the top shelf. And you are muted because
All right, so this movie came out in 1984, my sophomore year in high school. I learned very quickly that all the girls in school liked the movie, which caused me to like it. No, this was the first band-based movie that I ever remember myself watching. I just didn't see many. I mean, you know, you had, what'd you have out? before this. You had Pure Country with George Strait. You had Neil Diamond's Coming to America.
Well, I mean, you had the Beatles. They had a couple out. They had a couple movies out. You obviously, yeah. You had Elvis. That he had a couple movies out.
They were before my time.
They were on reruns, for fuck's sake. I mean, you were aware of their existence.
I'm sorry, I didn't watch Elvis or the Beatles.
I've never watched an Elvis film in my life. I've seen a couple Beatles films. They were one of my very first introductions to music. God, when I lived down in Georgia, holy shit. Yeah, we're talking like second, third grade. Good. The sour beer kicking your ass. I could watch. If you do nothing, just drink this beer and put it on YouTube. Just a reaction video of I'm listening to music, drinking sour beer.
All right. Let me get back. I will have to bring some of this up to Ohio when I come up to Ohio. and we'll do a full show of just you and I drinking sour. It'll be hilarious.
Yeah, are we still doing Bare Naked Ladies? Is that still happening?
When did we have that?
I think that's like in June, and you said you had tickets for that.
June. Let me look here. Let me finish my thing here, and then we'll deal with that.
Sorry, July 2nd.
July. Yeah, that could still happen. I don't know. I gotta talk with Jeff at work. Anyways. So, I think that this is a very well done movie as far as Prince goes. I mean, Prince is meticulous about his music, about his performances, all that stuff. So you expect it to be a great performance. The storyline was a little bit weak. I believe, boy meets girl, boy falls in love with girl, girl goes and out with somebody else like Morris Day, boy beats up girl,
life, yeah,
blah 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 blah. My dog died, you know.
Lost my Bible.
So, I'm torn on that. I know that you're putting it top shelf, aren't you?
I will watch that. Like I say, it is one of those films I will watch at any time, all the way through, halfway through, don't care. If nothing else, the musical performances, put it up there.
I've been a lighting guy in the music industry for a long time. There are reasons why I am putting it on shelf too. It's great music. It's great everything. The lighting sucked through the show. I hated it. I hated it.
Well, okay. I'm a little biased on this point because I saw him in concert for the Purple Rain tour. And that light show was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
This one wasn't.
They didn't have the budget. They didn't, I mean, you know. They didn't know that it was going to be important back then. I mean, they got a lot of nice stuff. I mean, they got a lot of God spots. They got, you know, I mean, it's good enough for a movie. And doing a concert and a movie are two radically different things.
Yes. I believe me. Musically, I put it number one. I don't know. I think I'll have to put that as a tie with Neil Diamond's. What the hell was that movie that Neil
Coming
Diamond
to America?
Did? I don't think it was. No, it was. I keep thinking The Fall Guy, but. No. What the hell was that?
Hold on, please. The Jazz Singer?
That was it. Have you ever watched it?
I've never seen it all the way through.
Fucking phenomenal. Every song that's in that that movie was a hit. For a 70s movie, which I actually think that came out early 80s. I'm not quite sure. I wish, you know what, here's one of those where you wish there were half shelves again.
That was 1980.
Yeah. You wish that there were half shelves because I think that he would be, I think that this would be a 1.5.
It's almost top shelf.
It really is. For me, it really is almost top shelf.
It could very easily be second shelf for me.
It is not Lone Wolf McQuaid, the best movie ever.
There is no movie as great as Lone Wolf McQuaid. There's nothing that can compare.
I once again wholeheartedly agree with you. I really think that that's a, I think it's a given, Burke, that Lone Wolf McQuaid just.
There's a box on top of the box.
That just has one movie in it.
Yes, that's it. That's the movie right there.
And that movie would be Lone Wolf McQuaid.
Ranger. 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 God, never. We will never do the drinking game of Ranger. Ever. Ever.
I think we have to now.
If it was with water, I'd still be in trouble. Forgot about how sour that beer was there, Scotty.
That was a big that was big gulp. Oh my gosh, my eyes are watering from that. Well, and to top it off, I have a sour apple Jolly Rancher in my mouth.
Yes, brilliant.
Yes, I'm so smart. I'm so smart. So yes, it's going on shelf two. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Remember, we have Batman coming up.
I've watched half of it now.
You've already watched. I haven't even gotten it yet.
When I was up in Toledo, we stayed at a hotel room and they had HBO. And I obviously couldn't sleep very long because it's a weird room, whatever. So I'm up early. I'm like, oh, fuck, they got HBO. I can watch Batman. So I'm watching. It's a 3 hour plus long goddamn movie. I got through an hour 45 of it before I had to get ready to go.
You've got to be kidding me.
It is a long, long movie.
Can't believe you've already watched part of it.
But the weird thing is the hour 45 I watched, was like all of the trailer. So I have no idea what the rest of the movie's like.
I have some bad news for us. And that's that, that we're going to have to watch Spies Like Us. It got to.
Who's playing it?
I don't know yet. I haven't even looked. I was actually thinking about, I was trying to find it myself so that I could burn it and put it into the show folder.
Gooby does not have it. Go away.
Now, you remember my ex-wife.
Which one?
I only have one ex-wife.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember her.
I used to play this song whenever her and I would break up. I loved this song. So that the audience knows, my ex-wife and I broke up a lot. It had a lot to do with the fact that every time she tripped, somebody else's penis fell in her.
That can happen.
I totally, it's very, very easy to happen.
Yeah,
it happens to me all the time when I'm at Boy Scout camp.
All I wanted was a back rub, and
he said there were brownies involved.
What's blue and comes in brownies? Yeah.
The tip of my penis?
Cub Scouts.
That's so wrong.
Bad jokes from my youth coming back to haunt me. Dear Lord.
All right, so we've done our big Prince whatever you want to call it.
Purple Rain review, deep dive.
Well, we haven't done the
finding mission.
We haven't done the deep dive yet.
Well, this is as deep as I could get into this movie.
That was into this movie. We still have the Prince life of Prince
himself.
Now, when
this is a daunting task.
This is a very daunting task. Where
we are going to pick little pieces of his life out. We are not going to be able to cover his whole life. We're not going to do the man justice, but we're going to try and shed a little light on stuff you may not know about him. Stuff I didn't know about him. So we can try and do this tomorrow. We can try and do this next week. It is completely up to you, man.
I am.
I know we're a little drunk and everything, but you now have a full-time job.
Yeah, it sucks.
And with that in mind, I have no problem going down to a one show per week format. It will elevate the quality of each show.
This
is up to you.
Here is okay, this reminds me of Thursdays. God, there were some gorgeous women there. I love Thursdays. okay, I am thinking that, as a matter of fact, here, I'm going to have you listen to this song for a second. Give me about 30 seconds to disappear, and I'll be right back.
Alrighty then. I will try and do a running commentary. We're still listening to Nine Inch Nails, one of my favorite bands. I had a beautiful Nine Inch Nails sticker on the back of my 1994 white Civic Si hatchback. I had the cassette tape of Pretty Hate Machine and Downward Spiral on hand at all times in that car. I had seen them once in concert, I believe, when I owned that vehicle. I believe that was at the Convocation Center. I did see them again at Blossom. Where he opened up for Bowie's Glass Spiders tour.
What?
Just commenting on Nine Inch Nails.
Oh.
I hear an alarm.
That means that we're out of time.
Uh-oh. I mean, whatever. We can do whatever we want.
All right. I stole my schedule from work a few days early. Do you work Sunday?
I do not.
What are you planning on doing?
I may be fiberglassing a boat.
Oh.
Depending on the weather.
Yeah, I have Sunday and Wednesday off.
Like I say, if you want to try and do this tomorrow, we can do this. If you want to wait till next week and just do one show this week, I'm okay with that too.
Ooh.
Give me a little extra time to edit some shows.
Yeah. Damn, they got me working late.
Let's roll one show this week. Not like we can both drink on Sunday night because we both got to work Monday morning.
No, I was thinking like Saturday night.
Probably driving, so not going to happen.
Driving where?
I have a slew of independent people that hire me to drive their cars to their dinners and parties and whatever. It's kind of an extension of what I used to do for Carl, but they liked me better than Carl, and they don't have to pay near as much, and they get just as much service. And so okay. Usually my Saturday nights are busy.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think right now I've got what? I've got two shows in the can plus this one. So we're about three shows out. Which is fine.
Yeah. And like I said, if we only do one show a week for a little while because life gets in the way, that's okay.
Well, we can record one show a week and still have two shows a week. That's kind of what I'm getting to. Like I said, we've got three in the can right now.
Yeah.
So that It'll takes catch care up
eventually,
of,
but yeah,
that takes care of next week. I don't think I want to do the Prince show tomorrow. Because I'm definitely not ready for it.
Okay.
but I also want to record a special show for Memorial Day. And I'm just trying to figure out when the hell we could do that. Yes, my life is a little bit harder now, but I've still set it up to where I have Wednesdays off the same time as you do, and you know, we'll make it work. We'll make it work. So I think next week we'll record the Prince thing.
On Tuesday?
On Tuesday.
All right.
And yeah, we'll see where we go from there.
Any ideas on the shows after that, since this technically was a movie, so I think it's your turn to choose topics.
Well, I think after this is going to be the Memorial Day special, which is going to consist of a little bit of everything. Okay. Little bit of Memorial Day, little bit of indie, little bit. The Memorial Day is a very special day in motorsports because you have the three biggest races. You have Monaco, you have the Indy 500, and then you have the Coca-Cola 600. So you have the three biggest races in the three biggest series that are out there going on all on the same day. So I'll shoot you an email about that because I will probably record that next week, Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay.
Shake your head.
Okay, gotcha.
That way we can put it out the day before Memorial Day.
Okay. You can search them around. It's all right.
I know. I heard that.
What, the wife?
Yeah.
Not like we haven't heard your wife, too. I don't know what you're bitching about.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not married.
Not after that comment.
Nope. I was waiting to see if she heard that. Anyways, on that note, I might get my ass out of here, man. Look at that. It's 69 degrees in the house.
That's good.
That is awesome. I have no clue why it keeps flipping between the time, the date, and
the temperature.
Yeah.
And granted, we're only at 59 degrees outside here, so life is good for us.
It was 100 today. Okay. I guess I should do this. Ladies and gentlemen.
The vamp. I forgot about the vamp.
Please go to the davisanddavisshow.com. Or wait, it's just davisanddavisshow.com.
Which has recently been updated with some new blogs and alcohols.
Wow. I'm going to add my sour ale tonight.
And a picture of yourself drinking it, I hope.
I think I'm going to add that to the
homepage
YouTube channel there. Fuck. Guys, this is it's no joke. That's some serious sour shit. May have to add some coconut shit to it. All right. You guys have heard the word shit a bit too much lately. So I think we're going to take off. Remember, check out our website. Merchandise will be there soon. We have t-shirts.
That's the first I've heard of it, apparently.
Burke just doesn't keep up. I send him emails, he ignores them.
That is a total lie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Welcome to the law.
Intro music, good way. God, he's a little lit. Sorry, folks.
I'm fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, have a great evening. Be good to yourselves, and we'll talk to you later.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.